Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
I think we'll go straight to Professor Mary Aiken now. And you're very welcome to the programme, Professor Mary Aiken. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Warwick.
Now, I want to talk to you especially because the US state of Florida is to introduce a ban on social media accounts for children under the age of 14. And that the governor there, Ron DeSantis, signed the law and it's given his state one of America's most restrictive social media bans for minors. So there might be a legal challenge here as well. And there might be a restriction for under 16s. What is your reaction to that, first of all, as a professor in cyber psychology? Do you think we should follow suit here?
Well, people who've heard me speak on this issue for the last, 15 years know that I'm very much in favour of protecting those who are vulnerable online, and children are one of the most vulnerable groups online. So I would welcome what the state of Florida is doing. And it actually echoes, you know, the campaign I ran in 2018 when our government at the time tried to reduce the digital age of consent from 16 to 13, sort of legally emancipate 13-year-olds from their parents so that they could make their own choices about signing up on these social media sites. So absolutely, you know, what we've seen is, and again, the Florida governor has pointed to all the studies that link social media use with higher risks of depression, with mental health challenges, with exposure to extreme content, self-harm content, suicidal ideation content. You know, we know the risks that exist for children online. We have to protect them.
How can it be done, though? Because a number of people have texted us already, and there's great interest in this, I think, to 51551. Can it be done?
Absolutely. So there is mis and disinformation, you know, propagated by those who profit in this space to say it's impossible. It is absolutely possible. There are all sorts of age verification metrics, identity verification metrics, biometric, you know, age verification technologies. I've worked with the UK government for the last 7 years, and we've actually established an entire sector called the Online Safety Technology Sector, or Safety Tech for short, a sector funded and dedicated to providing technology solutions to technology facilitated harmful and indeed criminal behavior. So the short answer is yes, it is absolutely possible. The Florida law actually will be enforced by specific age verification metrics with penalties for those who try to undermine that law.
But a number of people have said, look, there are age verification obstacles or parameters here as well for various platforms, and people just lying get by it that way.
Well, here's a simple thing that could be done in the morning. What if our government said to the large social media companies, how many 13-year-olds do you have on your platform? Now, I can guarantee that number will be five times at least the number of those who could potentially be 13 in a population. Why? Because the 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 and 12-year-olds are all going to self-verify at 13. So the evidence is there, you know, hidden in plain sight. Effectively, what we need is a government who are focused on actually protecting children in cyber contexts.
It's interesting. I've heard you speak on this program before about this, and it's really alarming when you talk about the harmful effect of social media. But it chimes in with what the US Surgeon General said last week. He said children are exposed to harmful content on social media, ranging from violent and sexual content to bullying and harassment. And for too many children, social media use is compromising their sleep and valuable in-person time with family and friends. Social media knows no international borders then. So the same is happening here, it has to be said. It's obvious. Why aren't we regulating more quickly than we are, do you think?
Because there is very little appetite in Ireland at a political level to tackle big tech. Now there's a grassroots appetite where we see parents, every day, a couple of times a day, I'll be contacted by schools, by parents, by even young people themselves saying, what can we do about smartphones in schools? How do we regulate this? How, you know, the UK has introduced a smartphone ban in school. France did it many years ago because they were worried about the loss of those communication skills and the distractibility. So what we have is this grassroots movement. We saw the same thing with the referendum, and we had a subject matter expert, Michael McDougall, stand up and say, actually, here's the science piece. This is what you need to understand. Break that down and explain it. And then what happened was people understood the issues and voted in an appropriate way. Well, in my opinion, in an appropriate way. The same thing needs to happen with our young people and their use of technology. And the point is, like you mentioned, and the Surgeon General talked about increase in harassment and predators and bullying. But what has happened is, you remember a couple of years ago, all of the warnings were about paedophiles online and child-related sex offending and predators. Well, what we've seen is a whole new cohort now targeting children. And they don't have a sexually deviant interest in the child. They have a commercial interest in the child. But they'll operate in exactly the same way as a child-related sex offender. They groom the child. They'll extort an image, an explicit image, say, of a 14-year-old boy or girl. And then they use that to blackmail the child into getting more images that have a value that they can sell on dark nets. And that's what children are exposed to, sextorted for more images or for their pocket money, whatever can be accessed. That's the challenge. I work frontline with Interpol, with Europol. We see this all of the time, and we see child and young teen suicides related to this sort of sextortion. We have to protect the vulnerable online, and that has to be done at a policy level.
Yet you have parents giving children under 14 smartphones.
Yes, and the stats, if you look at like Ofcom, I've worked on research for the UK online regulator Ofcom, and you know, I just pulled up a few stats there. 25% of children aged 3 to 4 use WhatsApp. 38% of 3 to 4-year-olds have their own profile on YouTube. 14% of profile on at least one other app or site as well as YouTube. Half of them have used apps to send messages, and 1 in 5 3 to 4-year-olds own a smartphone. I mean, that's
There are benefits. I mean,
not owning a smartphone.
Well, okay. Can I put this to you, right?
Yes.
I should ask, maybe, are there benefits for children 14 to 17 for using social media? I mean, does it make them feel more included something in community?
I'm talking about the 3 to 4-year-olds. So what you have is, you know, like, there's no benefit to a 3 to 4-year-old having a smartphone. There are benefits to engaging with a tablet supervised by a parent, according to the APA. What you need to do is to not think of children as one cohort,
okay,
but break it down, as we do in terms of physiology, into developmental stages.
Okay.
So in the real world, we have stages of development. At what age should an 18-month-year-old do something, or a 3-year-old, or a 5-year-old, or a 7-year-old? We need stages of cyber development.
Okay, and regulate for every single one of them.
Exactly. Is the best age to introduce technology? And then from policy point of view, how do we implement that?
We've got a huge response to this, I must say, and we will definitely talk again about this to see if there is anything happening in this space in Ireland. Mary Aiken, expert in cyber psychology, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. Now...